This evening's reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, starting from verse 29 to the end of the chapter. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That's why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
I thought I'd start off with a little story. A man fell into quicksand and started to sink. Whilst he was sinking, Confucius walked past and said, "There is evidence that this man should stay out of such a place." But the man was still sinking in the quicksand. Then Buddha walked past and said, "Let that man be a lesson to the world." But the man was still sinking in the quicksand. Then Muhammad walked by and said, "Alas, it is the will of Allah." But the man was still sinking in the quicksand. Then a Hindu walked past and said, "Never mind, you return to the earth in another form." But the man was still sinking in the quicksand. Finally, Jesus walked past. And he reached out his hand and said, "Grab hold of my hand and I'll pull you out." Do you know, we've got a God who saves us. Nothing else can save us. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hinduism. Nothing else can save us but Jesus. And tonight we've got a passage about Jesus healing people. And I want to look at that word healing. The word healing is actually mentioned in the passage, but the word in Greek for healing is sozo. Say it with me, sozo.
Sozo.
Brilliant. And the word sozo is a great word because it means to heal, but it also means to save, to restore, redeem, deliver. It's an amazing word. And tonight I want to look at what sozo means for us. What does that word mean to us when we look at this passage? Before we pick up where Mary read from, I just want to backtrack slightly into the few verses before. Jesus has been, it's the Sabbath day, and Jesus is preaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. Okay, now it was generally quite a popular thing to do for itinerant preachers to come and preach in a synagogue, and Jesus was just preaching along, and the people were absolutely flabbergasted. They were like, "This man preaches with authority." You know, this isn't like the dry old stuff we're normally used to. This stuff's amazing. And the people are like, "Oh, this is brilliant." And then, so just the, you know, just a cherry on top of the cake, it's like Jesus then goes, "There's a demon in that person. Cast him out. Ha-ha." And the people are like, "Whoa, this is fantastic. This is amazing." And they're like, "This man has authority." And they're shocked. And Mark's gospel is a gospel all about the authority of Jesus. It's saying, this is the Messiah. He is a man who has authority over all things. And you can imagine, they're then leaving the synagogue, and he's with Simon. I'm going to keep calling him Peter, I know it now. But in the passage, he's Simon, and he's walking. They're going to Simon's house, and there his mother-in-law is. And you've got to think, the disciples have just seen this amazing feat of authority that Jesus has. They're probably going, nudging each other and going, I wonder if he could heal your mother-in-law. And Simon's probably going, do I really want my mother-in-law to be healed? Don't know. But he probably nudges him and says, come on, it'll be fine, it'll be amazing, let's see what happens. And so they tell Jesus, they say, my mother-in-law, she's a bit sick. And it says in the word, she's got a bit of a fever. Now, to us, that's a bit of a cold, a bit of flu. But no, this is the Bible. And what it means is, she's really, really sick. In Luke's version of this story, it says she's got a high fever. It's like, she's on the edge. In Matthew's Gospel, it says that she lays with a fever. And that word lay means to be on the deathbed. She is close to the end. She's not just a little bit unwell. She is dying. She is not in a good place. And Jesus just walks up to her, reaches out a hand, picks her up, and she's completely restored. And then she starts serving him. Starts serving him the meal they often have on the Sabbath. And I was reading this little passage, and it's in verse 31, which we find this thing. And it's a small little verse, but I thought there has to be more here than what I'm reading. And it says, so he went to her, took her by the hand, helped her up, the fever left her, and she began to wait on him. Now, to all intents and purposes, it looks like Jesus was a bit hungry, wants his lunch, and so he goes, oh, I'll quickly heal you, and you can give me some lunch. Which is a nice idea, and I wouldn't put it past Jesus, but I think there's something more going on here. I wouldn't put anything past Jesus. He can do anything. But what was it about this man, when he reached out and picked her up, that suddenly, rather than just kind of going, oh, well, that was a bit of a groggy one, but I'll give me a few days, I'll be fine. She instantly gets up and serves him. In the Jewish culture, on the Sabbath, you weren't allowed to heal. You weren't allowed to do that, because it was classed as work. Now, the classification for work was changing the state of one thing to another. So you're not to cook, for example, because if you boil water and you get steam, that's changing something from one state to another state. So that's classed as work. If you cook food, it's changing it from one state to another state. So everything has to be prepared the day before. So healing was changing something from one state to another state. So that was a big no-no on the Sabbath. And that Jesus heals her on the Sabbath. Now, first of all, I thought, aha, Jesus is a bit of a maverick. That's what he's doing here. He's being a bit of a maverick. He's going, oh, look at me. But he's not. See, in the small print of the Sabbath law, there's a little clause which says this, that if someone's life is in danger, then you're obligated to break Sabbath and go and save that person. I had never ever seen this before, but I found that absolutely fascinating. He's not just breaking the law, he's actually upholding the law to its fullest. He's fulfilling the law. And I find that absolutely amazing. And the reason why I think she jumps up and serves him is for this purpose. So what he says is, you have value. You are so valuable, your healing, your salvation is so important to me that I will fulfill the law. I will break Sabbath for you because you matter. You have value. And not only does he say, you have value, he reaches out a hand and helps her up. And that is a sign of his service. He's a servant to her. He serves her and shows her value. Now imagine this lady. She's never met Jesus before. And suddenly, in an instant, she's being shown that she is worth something. That she has value. That she's cared about. And that someone wants to serve her and restore her to what she should be. What would you do in that situation? You see, what I think she does is she gets up and she shows to Jesus what Jesus has just shown to her. Jesus has just served her and shown her value. And now what she does is she immediately gets up from where she is. She's probably still feeling a little bit, a bit dodgy, a bit light on her feet. And yet she gets up and she shows to Jesus exactly what Jesus has just shown to her. She serves him. She says, you have value in my house. I want to show you hospitality. I want to show that you are valued here amongst us. You see, so often we look for healing and we know we're saved. But the question is, what do we do with our salvation? What do we do with that? It's not just a nice idea. This woman, what she does with her salvation, what she does with her healing, what she does with her sozo, is she chooses to serve the King. What was shown to her first, she then shows back to Christ. She serves Christ. That one verse for me just stood out this week as an amazing thing. It wasn't just Jesus wants a bit of lunch. What he was doing there was he was showing us and demonstrating to us what salvation is all about. The fact that we are in a state where we can't help ourselves. We are at death's door. All of us will die. And yet, Jesus reaches out a hand, picks her up, and he says, you have value. And why do you have value to God? Because he's created you. Because he has made you. And that's why you have value to God. And he said, not only are you valuable to me, but I want to serve you and free you and restore you to what you are in my eyes. That's what happened in that one verse, in that verse 31. I think that's what's happening. You see, when she serves Jesus, in Mark's Gospel, there's this whole thing in Mark's Gospel throughout it, where service shows the greatness of God. What she does in that moment, in that instant, when she serves Christ, she becomes the greatest in the kingdom. Because it says, whoever humbles themselves, they will be made great in the kingdom. When we humble ourselves and we do the work of our Lord and Saviour, we become great in the kingdom. Because he is with us and he has saved us. And that is something to shout about. That is something to get excited about. And that's a reason to get up in the morning and to serve our Lord. Because he has done something for us, which is so amazing. Then the passage carries on. I'm not going to go too much into the middle part of this passage. If we get time, I might possibly. But I want to get down to the next healing that Jesus does here. We now meet a person who's got leprosy. Now, in that culture, if you have leprosy or any ill like that, you were an outcast of society. You were nothing. People looked down on you. People went nowhere near you. And because of that, you had no access to the temple. You had no way to God. And this man on the side of the road, as Jesus walks past, he cries out saying, if you're able, make me clean. He recognises something in Jesus. He's probably heard what's been going on in the local area, that people have been being healed. And he probably thinks, if that is God, maybe he can heal me. And we know that he must think that Jesus is God, because in the Jewish culture, they thought that only leprosy could be cured by God. That's what they thought. You can check it out in 2 Kings 5, where it talks about Nahum getting healed of leprosy. The Jews thought that only God could heal leprosy. The fact that he called it saying, make me clean, it's saying, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe you are God. And it says this. It says, he was filled with compassion. Do you know what? God is filled with such compassion when he looks upon us. No matter what we do, no matter what state we find ourselves in, he is full of such compassion for us. And Jesus' heart is just changed in an instant. He says he just shows compassion. And he reaches out and he touches this man and he's made clean. You see, in that society, if you touched someone who was unclean, you became unclean. I was saying to Gemma this morning, it's a bit like the advert we saw when the swine flu was about. You know, where someone would sneeze, you see all the germs, and it's like go onto like a bar somewhere, you know, onto a banister, that's the word I'm after, a banister, and someone would walk past, a small child probably, to make you feel really bad about it, or a small child would walk past and lick their hand, suck their thumb, and you'd be like, oh, no way, quickly, get Dettol out, even, for that. And it's a bit like that, that's what it was like, that people went, ooh, that's a bit bad, you touch them, ooh, it's probably a small child, and then, but what happens here is Jesus goes against everything that people thought, and he touches him. And rather than Christ being made unclean, the righteousness of Christ is instilled in this man. Suddenly, this man's sickness, this man's ailment, in an instant, he is made righteous. Someone who cannot enter the presence of God in the culture. Suddenly he is restored to be able to walk into the temple. In fact, Jesus even encourages him to go to the temple. Suddenly he is freed in society. He wasn't just healing because it was a nice thing to do. It was for a purpose. This man had no hope. Everyone hated him. No one wanted to go near him. And in a moment, Jesus frees him. Brings him salvation. He brings him sozo. And that man suddenly can do all the things he'd only dreamed of. God longs to heal us. Whereas the first story, the woman serves him. He serves Jesus. This time the man can't help but shout about it. And he goes and tells absolutely everyone. Even though Jesus has said, don't do it, he's still like, well, never mind. He goes and tells everyone. He just goes out and it says, spreading the news. There's a man who can free you. There's a man who can heal you. Wherever you are, whatever situation you find yourself in, there's a man who can bring sozo to you. He can bring healing, restoration, deliverance. That's not only for the here and now, but that's for eternity. The word sozo also means for eternity. And I think that's absolutely amazing. The fact that God loves each one of us so much that he is willing, with a servant-hearted hand, to reach down in compassion, in care, and touch us in our frail, broken state, which ultimately to God is unclean, but through Christ we are made clean. And we can now walk into the presence of God. And I just think this passage is so amazing, because it's just showing us that our salvation is so important. And what I love is these words that I said earlier on. He was filled with compassion. God is filled with such compassion for you. And if we turn to Psalm 103, if you've got your Bibles there, I recommend you go there. I read it this morning in the prayer meeting before we came out. And it says this, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives your sins, heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. So like that, in the woman, she's restored back to her health. She's restored like the youth being renewed to an eagle. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The man who had leprosy, he was oppressed in that society, and yet God freed him. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And the words really felt God was laying on my heart tonight was to say this. Each one of us has value to God. No matter what state you find yourself in, you have value to God because he has made you and he has known you from before all time. Other thing is, God is compassionate. He is filled with such compassion. When this man cried out to the Lord, help me in my broken state, the Lord had compassion upon him. It's like us when we cry out for salvation and say, Lord, I need a way through this. And God says, I have compassion on you. I am gracious and my love abounds forever. I am slow to anger. It takes God a lot to get angry. But he's rich in love. But the other thing tonight is to say, what are you going to do with your salvation? We need to recognise that once we're saved, once we're healed, it has an effect. We can do something with that. For the lady, for Simon's mother-in-law, it was to serve Christ with everything that she had. For the man who got healed, it was to proclaim everywhere he went, the good news of Jesus. It was word and deed, faith and works, the two fundamental keys to salvation as we live it out, our faith and works, as James tells us. James also tells us that when we pray, when we ask for things, sometimes we do it with the wrong motives. Sometimes we come to God for healing with the wrong motive. We come because we want it, not because God has said yes to it right now. And that's a tough thing to get your head around. I haven't got many answers to that. But what I do know is that God always longs to bring you to a greater knowledge of Him. And when we have a greater knowledge of Him, we have a greater freedom. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, it says that He sent forth His word to bring healing to them. God has given His word. He's given Christ. He's given the scriptures. He's given His word for your healing. You see, the disciples had just come from a place where they had heard amazing teaching and it inspired faith to intercede and to ask Jesus for the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. If we want to be people who can pray for one another, what I suggest is we look at the scriptures and we see that to intercede, to have that authority interceding, get into God's word. Listen to His teaching, because that will inspire faith and allow you to do amazing things. The other thing which I haven't got quite time to go into, but Jesus spends time in the middle of this passage praying. The two keys, if you want to be involved in healing ministry, apart from doing the healing ministry training, which I highly recommend in our church, is get to know your word and get to know God. Because when you get to know the heart of God, that will elevate your relationship and that will elevate your faith. Because when we know the heart of God, we know what He wants for us, and we know the heart that He has wants for other people. As Roger preached this morning, it's all about love, about loving each other. When people see the love that we have for one another, so the world will be changed. That's a really important thing to know. And in the same way that Christ reached out and healed, so Christ says in John 14, that you will do everything that I have been doing. That's where Roger left it last week. That we can do everything that Jesus did. And Jesus goes on to say, you'll do even greater things. Share sozo with everyone. Seek God for your healing. Seek God for the things in your heart which you're struggling with. Because God is able to break through. He is able to deliver. So the word I leave you with tonight is the word sozo. God, our Saviour, our Healer, Redeemer, Deliverer, Restorer, who makes a way for eternity.
Now may the great God of all salvation bless and heal and touch us and make us whole. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with us and with those we love this night and evermore. Amen. Let's share together in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.